Hey, Magic fans, this is Kristen Ledlow from NBA TV and NBA Inside Stuff, and you're listening to the Penny for Your Thoughts podcast. Now, it's over to Geraint, Mikey, and Paul. Go Magic!
In order for the magic to work, you have to truly believe in the magic.
How's it going, Magic fans, and welcome to this week's episode of Penny for Your Thoughts, the Orlando Magic UK podcast. This week, we're joined by the king of the Download Festival himself, Mr. Paul Bacon. Paul, how was your weekend and how are you?
Absolutely superb, mate. I had a great time. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Sunburned to a crisp. Had a lot of fun. Some really good music all weekend. Had a cracking time. And obviously, representing the Magic, as you all saw, in shirts each day. And I have to tell you, had a little bit of fun with others that I saw around wearing generic Lakers shirts, asking him if Anthony Davis was going to re-sign. You get a glazed look. Enjoyed seeing a few Bulls fans. Every time I saw a Bulls fan, had to ask them who they were drafting this year. couldn't resist. More than a couple of Boston fans. And had to ask them if they felt that they should have beat Miami or not. Not a lot of happy responses there either.
What about the Bulls fans? Were they dancing and having fun?
Mate, like I said, everybody was dancing and having fun at Download, mate. We had a great weekend. I've got to tell you. Say again, Gary.
Sounds like the local JD Sport took a hammer in beforehand because that's all they really sell, isn't it, Lakers?
I guess we were watching Metallica on the Saturday night and get this drunken geezer come over and starts talking to me, a couple of high fives, gives me a hug. It's that sort of event. And he's showing me a shirt. He's got this quite expensive hand-sewn Metallica shirt on. And I says to him, mate, it's really nice, very nice. That is less keen on the cap. And he's got a New York Knicks cap on. And he went, mate, what is it? All I've had is insults this weekend for wearing this. He says, I've learned one thing about the Knicks. There are a bunch of some things that I'm not allowed to say on this pod, beginning with a C. To which my response was, well, can't argue with you. He literally bought it because his favourite colour combination is blue and orange. He knew nothing about basketball at all other than that.
No, he wants to invest in some Florida Gator stuff. He does.
Well, I did suggest
anyone wearing the good guys other than yourself?
Just the one, mate. Although I did see, apparently in the distance, Mike off of our Twitter group did see me because I was rocking the Vooch shirt from a few years back, and he saw me in the distance but couldn't get to me in time. But yeah, one other Magic fan wearing jersey, 00AG, the 50? Classic jersey that we had from the 30th. And there's a story involved in that. It was again on the Saturday, my mate and I, said to him, mate, I've got to go. So I disappears into the gents. And I'll wait out here for you, pal. So I've come out, and as I'm coming out, this guy wearing the Aaron Gordon shirt's going in, and we're sort of like, hey, the old Spider-Man meme job. I come out and I'm stood looking around. I can't see my mate anywhere. Stand around waiting. I thought, he's probably decided he's going in. As the Aaron Gordon shirt comes out, my mate appears walking alongside of him, talking to him. And he's not realised, he's just seen a Magic shirt. Wow. This guy is full head of hair. I'm not. And you've not realised you've just seen a blue Magic jersey. But there we go, mate. I suppose says a lot about the condition he was in at the time.
Completely sober, was he, Paul?
Say again, mate.
Completely sober, was he?
Absolutely. Never a drop past the lips. Believe that, you'll believe anything.
I want to know why he couldn't get to you in time when he saw you with your Vooch jersey. Were you crowd surfing?
Oh, mate, no. I've been going to Download since 2012. and I have never seen it so busy. Whereas something used to take 5 minutes to walk across the arena from one stage to another, you could get around quite easily. This year, you were looking at probably 15 minutes. It was 110,000 people, absolutely rammed in, massively attended. And I say, had a great time, thoroughly loved it. Say yes.
Well, next up, we can't really top that, but we're joined by South Beach's favourite son, and that's South Beach of Barry Island. So, how's it going, G?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. Obviously, we're going to get into this week's results, which we're all smiling about. I haven't had as interesting a week as Paul has, so unfortunately, I haven't got, you know, tales to tell, but enjoying the sunshine, looking forward to the draft now. So, let's be having it.
Good man. There's not like a countdown for the draft going on or anything amongst Magic fans, is there?
No.
And last but not least, we've got the King of Home Improvement, sponsored by Black & Decker today. How's our cider man doing today?
Cider's going damn well tonight, mate. I'm all good, mate. My week's been pretty standard. Been working hard, going to the gym. You know all about that, Gar. Other than that, mate, just looking forward to the draft.
Working on the gun show, have you?
Been trying. I'm trying. It's slow progress, but it's coming together. We're all good.
That's what happens when you've got the natural gains, Mikey. It's all slow progress.
I'm gaining something, but I don't know if it's that.
Cider?
Cider, clearly.
I love it. Absolutely love it. When I saw you swigging, I was like, please be cider. Please be cider.
It's definitely cider, mate.
Man, good man. Keeping it going. I've got this image in my head of you, Maggie, just drinking cider 24/7. So so before we get started, some affiliate plugs. NBA EU, we know, are consistently updating their inventory. If you're thinking of buying from them and you wish to use our affiliate code, it's MagicUK10. This will get you 10% off your order. We've never said it's the best deal on that day, so please shop carefully, but it does work, and we'd like you to use it if it is the best deal or better than any other 10% deal. Feel free to head over to our own online store if you would like something more bespoke, and that is magicfansapparel.tmil.com for some of our own merchandise, and the links for this are also in the description. And the main one, really, is you can help support the podcast by subscribing to the YouTube channel. We appreciate every like, every comment, every follow. It's massively appreciated. This is on Orlando Magic UK. If you have subscribed through another platform, it would really help us if you hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Before we jump into the finals, also there is the Orlando Magic UK meetup, which is on the 15th of July. So if you are interested in that, do let us know. And there is also the live draft watch party. So if you follow us, you are welcome to join that. So the main news, G, you alluded to this, and we're going to start with you. The NBA Finals has been on, and it's non-magic news, but the Denver Nuggets closed out the finals and sent the Miami Heat packing 4-1. What were your thoughts and how are you feeling, G?
Oh, mate, absolutely brilliant. And I got to make a point here. The Florida Panthers also lost the night after. So that was Miami losing two finals within 2 days. So you can't ask for any more, really, can you? No, but going back to the basketball, and, I did say Denver in four. I did. But obviously Miami, in fairness to them, you know, it was a bit of a Cinderella story, obviously going through the play-in. They played very well to knock out a couple of really good opponents before that. In the Bucks, the Celtics, I'm not going to mention the New York Knicks, and get to the finals. But obviously Denver, a different animal, weren't they? You know, they were the best team during the regular season, best team in the playoffs, best player as well, Nikola Jokic, and obviously having that supporting cast and teammates who are, you know, willing to buy in and do the right things. Jamal Murray was absolutely superb. It was really nice to see him come back, especially from his injury. You got obviously AG, and I'm sure we'll talk about AG a little bit later on, but you know, he had, I think there was two games where he really, you know, showed his worth. And then you got the fallout of that with national media sort of saying, you know, did Denver get him cheap from Orlando? But, you know, I think it was just a matter of fit and him knowing his role as the third or fourth best player on that team and buying into Coach Malone's system, you know. So, you know, they fully deserved it, did Denver. So there's not really much more to say about that, is there? Thoroughly deserved, and just nice to see them knock off the Heat. Do you agree, Gar?
Well, obviously, I was hoping for Denver in the finals, just because it's Jokic, really. It was more of a Jokic thing for me than anything else. I'm not going to run into any Miami Heat fans, so I don't really care that much what happens to them one way or another. But I do want to see Denver win, and you do run into some of the social media chirp from Miami. So I was kind of just rooting for Denver because of that factor. And I just wanted Jokic to get a ring because I think it would be a travesty if a player of that quality ended his career where he didn't have a ring, at least one, because he was clearly the best player in the playoffs.
So yeah, and I mean, Jokic in the post-game stuff, have you seen all of it? Absolutely brilliant. He really doesn't care that much about basketball, and it is a job to him. You know, the post-game, they said to him, you know, are you looking forward to the celebrations and the parade? And so if he had to speak to, I can't remember if he was a translator or something, and he was like, when's that? Thursday. And he's like, no, I just want to go home. And just to see that, it was so refreshing. So, you know, somebody didn't really care that much. So, no, absolutely brilliant. And I'm very pleased for Jokic and for AG, who was really, really good.
Well, we're coming on to that. And I'm going to ask Paul first and then anybody else just chime in. But there's been a lot of discussion around Mr. Gordon, I think, on Magic social media circles. And there's a little bit in our Twitter group. Paul, are you pleased for Aaron Gordon? Are you ambivalent? Or are you just not in the Aaron Gordon camp? Because it seems to be a little bit of a dividing factor with Magic fans right now.
Right, I've got nothing against Aaron Gordon, personally. I thought, as far as we were concerned, as for the Magic, it was time for him to move on. Relationships had clearly soured. So be it. It's what it is. He asked for a trade. We traded him. We got him to a good location. I can do without perhaps the veiled snipes, but the way we asked him to do more than his abilities and where we asked him to play out of position, etc., perhaps you can understand some of the ambivalence towards us. No, I'm perfectly happy for him to have got the ring. I thought he played fantastically well. He's really worked hard. I don't get this that... where people are saying, oh, look how his defensive game's developed. He was always fantastic as a defender in Orlando. And we saw games on a regular basis where he played and was scoring freely. We just asked him to do it too often. So, no, good luck to him. Well played. I've got no problem at all. Yeah, I think he did well. I think he played really well. And I would say he's learned his role in a team that has arguably two stars in Jokic and Murray. Throw in Porter Jr. and KCP, who, and as a starting five, they play some fantastic basketball. Really, really impressive. And as G said, each one of them was bought into the role. As to did the game cheap, I think we probably got what was available at the market. We're not going to say, I don't think we would have had better offers and turned them down so as we could just take RJ Hampton. I think we probably took the best offer that was available. It showed what his market value was at the time. It'd be a bloody sight higher now.
Without doubt. I think, though, that was his market and he was playing on a losing team and wasn't standing out. And people forget that he was... He was solid, and you're right when you're saying he was in that position of where he'd been asked to do maybe more than he was capable of, maybe being looked at one point as the power forward, then Jonathan Isaac's drafted, then it's can he be Paul George light, things like that.
Yeah.
He has been bounced around, but I think that's an interesting take. And G, you seem positive about AG.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very happy for him. As Paul just mentioned, you know, he was in Orlando at the wrong time. Probably a little bit like Evan Fournier as well. And I know he takes a lot of heat. Had the Magic, you know, had Aaron Gordon during the 2008-2009 season alongside Dwight Howard, then, you know, and Rashad Lewis, Turkoglu, etc., then potentially, you know, he could have fitted into that role better as a third, fourth best player, great defender. And Paul said, you know, he was a great defender for us. And we always, that was his calling card. He had his games where he went off for 40 against the Brooklyn Nets a couple of times. So he showed his capabilities, but the timeline just didn't quite work out. And he isn't a number one or a number two. He's a number three or number four. So obviously, you know, it happens. It happens.
I think in a couple of games, you still saw those little flashes of the Aaron Gordon that we saw, where all of a sudden hero ball comes in and he launches a three when it's a bad shot selection. I think in an Orlando team, latterly particularly, he was being asked to do that, and he was asked to take a burden on the scoring that isn't his game. We weren't able to put a unit around him to emphasise his strengths in the way that Denver have. They found that piece in Aaron Gordon that they needed to go alongside the Jamal Murray's and Nikola Jokic. Good piece of management by them. Well played, Aaron.
Mikey, anything you want to add to that?
No, not really, mate. You guys have really covered it. I mean, he's just in the perfect scenario in Denver. He's the perfect partner, sidekick to Jokic in the front court. Like you guys have said, we were hoping he was going to become something more than he was. His role was never really defined for the Magic. He didn't have the consistency. I mean, how many head coaches did he play for? Was it five in his 6 years with the Magic?
Yeah, it was some ridiculous amount, wasn't it? And throw in the injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. So none of that is really going to help a player develop into something that you're hoping you're going to get with the fourth overall pick. But I think what it does highlight, and I think this is something important we've got to remember for next week, is that it doesn't matter about necessarily where they're picked. It's about picking the right players. And you want to make sure that that player's got a defined role. And look, we're in a much... We all feel so much more confident about where this team's heading now, with Paolo and Franz being your top two guys, Markel, Wendell, Cole coming off the bench. There seems like a natural pecking order now. And we're not looking at the sixth pick next week. Like, we have to nail it. We have to find that star. We have to go and reach for the player with the biggest upside, the biggest ceiling. Whereas when we were drafting AG, what was it, 2014? That was what we were doing. We picked Oladipo the year before. I'm right on that, aren't I?
Yeah.
And then you're swinging for AG and hoping that these things fit together. So it is what it is. We're past this now, really, aren't we, as a franchise? So, yeah, like you guys say, congratulations to AG. Fully deserves it. Denver fully deserved it. And... it was nice to see Kyle Lowry get dumped out as well. And
I'll tell you, the other guy I think that has shown his worth, again, former Magic, Jeff Green, when he's come off the bench, he's done well. He embraced his role. Again, another player who's clearly happy in the situation he's in.
Whilst we're on ex-Magic players, obviously Ish Smith is another one who got a ring, playing for his 10th team. So, yeah. Congratulations to them all.
I will say for Aaron Gordon, though, if he was in Orlando now, he wouldn't be in the starting lineup.
No, he wouldn't.
No, I agree.
He's not getting ahead of Banchero or Franz, no way. So, you know, embrace the sixth man role, Aaron, if you've got a thought of coming back to Orlando. So, Mikey, I believe it was Stephen A. Smith and J.J. Redick, and they were debating of whether Jokic is the best big of all time. Mikey, is he?
Is he an all-time great? Yes, without doubt. Is he a big man? Is he the best big man of all time? He's certainly trending that way, but I don't think he's there just yet. I mean, we've just witnessed one of the greatest playoff performances and runs by any individual. What was it? 30-13-9 he averaged throughout the playoffs. Something that was very rare. I mean, it's a great story for a guy that was picked 41st in the draft, won back-to-back MVPs, and now he's got that crowning achievement of winning the title in Denver. And he's only 28, which he isn't going anywhere. I mean, it's not like we're talking about a guy who relies on his athleticism either. I mean, what was the comment in our Twitter group? It looks like he's playing with flip-flops on, which was absolutely... I can't remember who came up with that, but that was awesome. But yeah, he's definitely up there. I mean, I don't even think he was included in the all-time 75 team.
No, I don't think he was either.
So at the moment, would you put him above Shaq, Kareem, Wilt, Bill Russell? Not at the moment, not for me. He's in the conversation, but for me, he's probably a couple more NBA titles away from being heavily considered to be that top.
He's certainly above Anthony Davis.
I don't think he's above Carl Anthony Towns, though, because I think he thinks he's the best player to ever play the game.
What, the man who changed the game?
The man who changed the game.
That's the quote, isn't it? He changed basketball. All right.
Apparently, you just need to give him the keys and he can put up 40 when he wants. Doesn't mean you're going to win NBA games, so does it?
What's that meme where it just says lay off the weed?
Yeah,
just lay off the weed. It's you've got to win games. You've got to actually do things that are meaningful. And Towns right now is one of those players where it's like trades that would benefit the Magic. And I've seen him linked to us a couple of times in these like random blog articles over the past couple of pre-seasons. And I've just been like, please God, no.
Mikey, I'll tell you right in saying that you've said for some time that you don't think he is a player that is a winning factor on a team. He's not going to lead you to a championship. I think you've said that for quite some time.
Yeah. I remember going on another podcast, probably, I don't know, it must have been during lockdown, probably 3 years ago or so. I remember saying, ask the same question. I said, no, I don't think he's a winning player. I don't think he's a player that you build your team around. I think he's a really good player. I just don't feel like... He reminds me of DeMarcus Cousins, somebody who's like another big man who was a really good player in his position, but he had the wrong attitude. His style of play just doesn't trend towards winning games. Not for me. Send him somewhere like Houston. I don't care. just stay away from Orlando. I don't care. But what was the other thing he came out with the other day as well? That he thinks the Timberwolves' run to the postseason was more impressive than the Nuggets winning the title. Wow. I'll tell you what, his conversations are starting to reach Kyrie Irving levels. But anyway, let's move on. But it gets even worse.
Not quite on flat Earth levels for me, yeah. But he's flat crack levels, perhaps. But we'll see. So obviously, if we're moving on, the big thing we want to talk about as Magic fans is the draft. And Thursday night, as everybody knows, we're picking 6 and 11. We're hosting the watch party. And obviously come along and go for all the live crack. I can't think about some of the puns that are going to be made on Thursday night at all. But having looked at some recent mocks by ESPN and CBS, so I wrote this a couple of days ago and they seem to be just getting updated all the time. Orlando in both ends up with Osar Thompson in both at 6. And in another one, we had ESPN saying Jordan Hawkins at 11, which seems to be a popular pick in our Twitter group. And the CBS one had Jalen Hood-Schifino in one of their drafts, because it's been updated since, at 11. So, G, I'll start with you. If you were sat in Barry Island on Thursday, joking. If you were sat there on South Beach on Thursday night, how would you feel if the Magic left with Osar Thompson and either one of Hawkins or Hood-Schifino? What would be your feeling?
Well, first and foremost, I trust the front office impeccably. So whatever they do, I'm going to be fine with it. However, we all know we need shooting. And, you know, later on in the show, we're going to come on to who we'd like to pick, etc. Ozaire Thompson, obviously, he's in and around that on most draft boards. He's obviously a highly skilled player. Wouldn't mind him at all. I know Gary's got his favourite player, who's not mentioned here, obviously. So I would like that said player,
GD,
nameless, GD, to be picked at some point.
Which player do you want to get your hands on there, G?
Sorry, what's that?
Which player do you want to get your hands on there? Because I don't know who you're talking about.
You don't. Taylor Hendricks, mate. Taylor Hendricks.
Oh, okay.
That was a cop out, G.
So if we ended up with Thompson, Hawkins, Hood Schifino, I don't know a lot about, and that's the first time I've really seen his name linked to ourselves. So would I be happy? Whatever the front office decide is right, I'll back them to the hills. They've hit on most drafts that we've done. And as we know, the Magic don't leak anything. So I'm sure Jeff and John have got their cards close to their chest. And anything we hear is just hearsay. So let's just let them play it out on Thursday night. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we know, looking at last year, that all the hype was that Jabari Smith Jr. was going to be the pick for the Magic at one, and it was all over the media. And it was really just the day of the draft where things started to swing a little bit. Someone here might have got Paolo Banchero in the number one pick on the on a betting site, and I got it 14-1.
Wow, really?
I only had a pound or something, but I had like a pound in my account. I just went, oh, I got 15 quid out of that. It like really tanked, and I just thought that he's not out the race. Put it on and made a little bit on that. But a lot of the talk was Jabari Smith. Right now, a lot of the hype is Brandon Miller going number two in the draft, and the belief is that Scoot would therefore fall to three. There's been talk about whether we would trade up the draft board, or we would give up both of our picks. Paul, do you think we do it? If we do it, what do you think we've got to say to Portland? Because if they take that deal, it's pretty much got to be they're in win now mode. So what would you do?
Again, I'm going to echo what G said. If our front office think that is the way, then I'm happy with that.
This is like no comment, isn't it?
I'll be honest with you. You know full well, I'm this person who doesn't look at any of the prospects until we've actually picked. Simply because I can get excited about, oh, you know, I really want to see us draft Dennis Smith Jr. I think he'd be great. And we just never go near anything that I happen to have looked at. I thought, he looks all right. He might fill the need. So I've looked. There's names. I've had a little look here and there. But I'm not getting excited about any particular person until we've drafted them, and then I'll take a proper look. Clearly, Henderson is a talent. I don't know if he's the person we need. I would expect that our front office has done its due diligence to be deciding if we are going to trade up. We've got to obviously add something else in besides. Who's that? Is it Suggs? Is it Cole? You know my opinion, Cole. I absolutely love the guy. I'll be sorry if he is part of it, unless they see moving him on as something that can bring us in the piece that we need. So at the minute, sorry for the kind of bland answer, but I'm not getting excited or looking at things as, oh God, yeah, I really want this guy. Because otherwise I end up finding myself disappointed and then having egg on my face when who we pick turns out to be absolutely brilliant.
That's an understandable answer, Paul. You can obviously run for Prime Minister as well.
Thank you. I don't lie enough.
You do a better job than me.
Yeah, but you Wait. Like a party.
Don't we all?
I'll be doing cash for favours next at this rate. So,
if we stuck with 6 and 11,
yeah.
If we took Grady Dick at 6, then again, I probably wouldn't be over upset at that. I know it's higher than people talk about, but if they feel that he is the guy who's going to be hit the shots for us, then fine. I'm quite happy with that. Jordan Hawkins again. That name keeps coming up. I'm seeing, as you've mentioned, a lot of people in our Twitter group are really excited about his prospects. So again, wouldn't be upset at that. But with the difference between keeping the two picks and trading up is that we get two shots at getting that player. So if we choose to go all in, as you said, that's win mode, and they really throw, then they're really seeing something that they like in probably Scoot.
Yeah.
But if we stick with the two, I'm quite happy that we've got two bites at that cherry to get somebody to fill the need of scoring.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have a look at our who would be on our board in a moment, Paul. But I think you started the ball rolling. I'm just going to come to Mikey.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm going to just come to Mikey because I know Mikey's been a huge advocate for Taylor Hendricks. And have you really got that stance with the sixth pick? Has it altered at all? Because I'll be honest, Mikey, that's not a player who, when I've been looking into the players that I've really been sold on. So have you altered your stance? Or are you still there?
I still really like Taylor Hendricks. I do think he's a bit of a reach at six. If I think there's a better chance that he's there at 11. I think he'll go before 11. I think probably Dallas would take him before he drops to us at 11. But I think if he is there at 11, I think he'd be heavily considered. I just feel that I just see him as a really good role player off the bench. And I just don't see a scenario where he becomes a solid starter. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's 6'9", he's a bit undersized if you're going to play him at the 5. And we really want a little bit more length at the 5 position when Wendell's only, 6'9", 6'10". So, I said this when we had Josh Cohen on. I think he's a very similar... you could see him as a backup, a replacement for Jonathan Isaac if they decide to go a different route and move on from J.I. But I just think with that sixth pick, I think you've got to go for upside. I think you've just got to take a swing at the best prospect that's on the board, whether it's Asar Thompson or Cam Whitmore if he's there. I would rather use that pick on somebody like that than Hendricks, but... Hendricks will be a solid pick if that's who they go for, but I wouldn't go with him at the sixth pick at the moment. I mean, like I said, take a swing. We need shooting. That's your priority this draft, this off season. So yeah, I still like Taylor Hendricks, but I'm not going with him at six.
So if I change the order of what I was going to ask here, then Mikey, what would be your, if we looked at a draft board, what would be your realistic hopes or intrigues for the draft? So who would be the 3 to 5 players who you'd say they're the guys I'd be looking at if I was the Magic front office? Who interests you realistically? So it's not like Wembanyama or someone like that, because we don't know that one.
And going back to Paul's earlier point about moving up the draft, I just don't think we're going to do it. I think there's a better chance we trade one of the picks and just move out of there. Or we just stay at 6 and 11. If you guys haven't watched the Sixth Man show or listened to it from Thursday, Jonathan and Kev both had a really good point about, if you look historically at NBA stars that reach their peak when they win their first NBA title, we're looking at like 26, 27, 28, 29 years of age. And I know it's nice, like, dreaming up these scenarios where we could trade up in the draft, or you take a swing for, like, we talked about Donovan Mitchell last offseason. I just don't think we're anywhere near ready for that. And that's why I just don't think it's worth trading up in the draft. I think we're five years away from Paolo and Franz reaching close to their ceiling of where they're going to be. And you make any wrong move, and all of a sudden, you're going to be stuck. And I just feel like let's just pick one or two really good players in the draft that you can see have a defined role next season. We've already heard Jeff Waltman talk about they need a path to play. I know there's like rumors about free agents that we could sign, but if you go and draft Asar Thompson, well, to me, I don't see the point, unless you're cutting Gary Harris, of bringing in a Gary Trent Jr. I just feel like you're already stopping Asar Thompson becoming a starter because you've got Gary Trent. Do you see what I mean? I feel like there's got to be a defined role for whoever you draft. There's a long-winded way of getting there, but the five players that I've got on my list, I think if we walk out of two of these five, Asar Thompson's one of them, and I think we could see this. I think we would see him start the year coming off the bench, but you could see him becoming a starting two guard eventually. The next player, and this would cast doubt over Markel Fultz, as Scoot Henderson would, is Anthony Black. There's a lot of traits Anthony Black has that, like Jeff Altman and John Hammond, and we were talking about a 6'7 point guard who is a really, really, really good defender. I mean, people are talking about him being the best defender in the draft. You put him in the backcourt with Jalen Suggs, you've got a problem. The only problem is he can't shoot. So we're back to the same question. But again, if they see Anthony Black being a better long-term fit than Markel Fultz or whoever, or Jalen Suggs, then I wouldn't be surprised if Anthony Black's name's called. I really wouldn't. And he has the upside that you could see him being a really good third piece to Paolo and Franz. The other name's Bilal Coulibaly, who plays with Wembanyama. I haven't really watched too much about him, but just quickly reading about his natural athletic tools and his ability to cut, slash. He's a bit of a scorer. There's some things there when you sort of read about it, of like, it's when like John Hammond drafted Giannis. Like, you go in for that guy that nobody really knows about, but he's got all this upside. Coulibaly's a bit like that. I'm not saying he's going to become Giannis or anything even close, but he's a name to keep on. Derek Lively, I said to you guys about in our WhatsApp group the other day, there's a defined role for Derek Lively. We need a backup big man. To me, 7'1", 7'7 wingspan, much better motor than Mo Bamba, can block shots, can rebound the ball. That's all you want him to do coming off the bench. And there's apparently been flashes that he can shoot the three. If he does, great. But if we're talking about a long-term backup center, Derek Lively could fit that. And sorry, Grady Dick isn't part of my five. Jordan Hawkins would be the one I would go for. And his shooting tells you all you need to know, really. If we come out with Grady Dick or Jordan Hawkins, the draft's a win. Everybody else, to me, is a bonus.
I definitely had you down for grabbing Dick, Maggie, but fair play on the five that you had there. And I think there's a couple I'll comment on, where I'm going to just go around everybody else. But I think the Lively and Coulibaly are people who are interesting me from guys that you said there. So that's your big board. So if I was to just go in order here, Mikey started us off really well. G, where would you stand on this? And then I'm going to come to Paul.
Yeah, I mean, Mikey makes a lot of really good points there.
Is there a pitchfork coming?
Is there a what, sorry?
Pitchfork coming with the Anthony
pitchfork, Black? No. I'm not sold on Anthony Black. I hear what he's saying, but I can't see it happening. I think we've got too many guards. I think we're going to pick best available, and I think there's better players available. But I just wanted to point out, you mentioned a point there, Paolo and Franz aren't going to be at their best for some 3, 4, 5, 6 years. So when you've got an opportunity to draft rookies who are on the rookie scale contracts, you're getting somebody cheaper than market value, although they've got to sort of grow into, you know, the player that they're going to be. So, you know, having two now is an absolute best time to try and get best available, fill out the roster as best you can. Obviously, we know shooting is a major concern. So out of the two picks, I would definitely pick one of the shooters, as in Jordan Hawkins or Grady Dick. So I'd probably pick one of those two at the 11, if I'm being honest. But if I just quickly go down, obviously Cam Whitmore, if we grabbed him, you know, he's in the kind of, I did do a bit of a deep dive here and found out, you know, the NBA comparisons. So for people who don't know them, Caron Butler, Jay Crowder kind of mold. He's a small forward and he shoots, you know, he got 12.5 points, 5.3 assists in his college year. So if we could grab him, he'd be good. Obviously, Mikey's mentioned Taylor Hendricks. He's compared to Pascal Siakam. Now, if you've got a Pascal Siakam, well, we're all laughing, aren't we? But I don't know if he'll turn out that good. Obviously, UCF product, so a local boy, averaged 15.7 rebounds last year. I'd looked at the shooting percentage as well, and I kind of tried to key in on the free throw percentage because, you know, obviously they can have an up or down year, but I think free throw shooting tells a tale of how good a shooter they are. And in fairness, Hendricks shot 78% from the line, and he even shot 39% clip from threes. So a little bit different to Mikey. I think if he was available at 6 or even if he was at 11, you know, you'd certainly consider grabbing him. Obviously then Grady Dick, you know, best shooter in the draft from what the scouts are saying. His footwork's great, balance, confidence, tenacious defender as well. I think he's got everything that we need, everything we want. So, I mean, I don't know if we're going to reach for him at 6, but certainly if he's not taken at 11, you know, you'd be scratching your head a little bit. Shooting mechanics, superb, and he's very competitive. So certainly if we can get him, I think Asar Thompson yesterday was supposed to work out for the Indiana Pacers. And I think that workout got cancelled. So rumours are potentially that he's been given a promise. But, you know, we don't know. The Magic don't leak anything, do they? Obviously, 6'7", shooting guard. In comparison purposes, they've said Trevor Ariza. I'm a big fan of Trevor Ariza. So if we were to get hit, if he was available at 6, you know, I wouldn't be disappointed. And then you move on to, I've got on my list here, Jordan Hawkins. Mikey's just mentioned it, the best volume three-point shooter in the draft, him and Grady Dick. So we have to, for me, you have to get one of those two, no matter what. Obviously, other options dependent. If you reach for Grady at 6, do you then sort out the backup center role, push for Derek Lively? Obviously, a Duke product, 7 foot 1 center. He's been comparable to Jackson Hayes or Willie Cauley-Stein. Again, very good NBA players. And then I'm just going down my list. I sort of thought if our guys, well, I don't know. I think the Magic are in a good opportunity to trade back. So there might be a couple of players there who are still on the board, 14, 15, who could help us out. So even if we grab best available and then we got some more assets for them, Keyonte George, he's a scorer, basically, from what I'm reading. He might just need a bit of time to sort of learn the role, find his feet in the NBA. But at the moment, you know, we've got a lot of young players and everyone's going to need some time to bed in. And then the last one I've got on sort of the list that I looked at is Jet Howard, comparable to Doug McDermott, so another good three-point shooting threat. 37% high volume on his three-point shots, 80% from the foul line. So, you know, you're looking at players who've done it at the college level, and you'd like to hope that they could do it on the NBA level. So as long as we get a shooter in, you know, Grady Dick or who was the other one? I can't remember his name now.
Hawkins.
But, yeah, that's him. Or we just get best of it. I don't know. It's just there's so much talent there. It's so difficult to call, isn't it? But we just want to shoot it and best available.
Jet Howard's Michigan, yeah?
I believe so, yes. Hang on, let me just scroll down to my notes. He is a Michigan player, yeah. Shooting guard.
We've got history there, haven't we?
We do.
That's interesting. So we've got some good shouts there. So Paul, what can you add? Because we've had two deep dives from Mikey and G.
Right, I'm not going to go anywhere near as deep as them, per course. I think they've covered it perfectly well. If we end up with some combination of Thompson, Hendricks, Dick, and Hawkins, and I can see Derek Lively being a very good possibility. Last thing I looked at, he was still well down the board. So he could well be the possibility where, as G has said, that you could trade back for and still be able to pick him up. He's listed sort of 19 on one of the things I'm just looking at now. Any combination of those five, and I'm happy.
What's yours, Gary?
I think there's a couple of things, subplots that I would look for in the draft. The first one is, I think, what the Houston Rockets do. I think that's what's going to dictate the draft, because if Houston are going to get Harden, Houston are going to pass on Thompson, Amen Thompson. That's what I think, because I think Harden's obviously going to go in the backcourt with Green. And I could then see, would Houston look to address a need at power forward or small forward? So I think that's where you could see plot one. You know, when someone slips, that's where the slip could happen, where if Houston's got James Harden, Amen Thompson gets passed on, and then there's a knock-on effect from there. Where they pick up, say, Cam Whitmore becomes attractive to them, or Jarrell Walker would become attractive to them as the fourth pick. So that's one to watch. The second one is that with Taylor Hendricks, I'm not in on Hendricks or Walker, because I don't think the Magic are going to give up on Jonathan Isaac this season. If Jonathan Isaac wasn't there, I think we'll look at him and go, we've drafted one of those guys. I honestly think if we didn't have Jonathan Isaac, or GI had like another bad injury, I could see us going down that route as security to back up at the three or the four. Just someone who can come in, play hard, be a defender, and be a good bench player straight away. So that's my two side views of the draft, which I'm watching, because I wonder if that happens. The fifth pick in the draft for the Amen Thompson, he isn't going to Detroit. Detroit's already stocked in the backcourt. So that brings up the question of, would the Magic go best player available and look to scoop him at six, which then opens a can of worms, because you look at our point guard situation and it's that bit where someone falls to us and you wouldn't necessarily expect. So that's something I'm keeping an eye on. The people who I would want to draft, I want a shooter out of this draft. So we have to come out of it and grab Hawkins and see Dick's getting like on G's mind immediately there. He just got this look. Dick's on his brain. We've got to grab either Grady Dick or Jordan Hawkins with one of the picks.
Yeah.
And that is because we have two glaring needs. And the needs are, we either have to have a backup center or a shooter. Now, if we don't get the shooter, or we don't get the backup center, or neither in this, we've given ourselves work and free agency. So I think we're going to try to address one of those two needs at least. So I think we're going to grab a shooter with one of the picks. I am intrigued by Lively for the simple fact he seems to be everything that we would want in a backup big. He's got size. He's over 7 feet tall. The camps would suggest that he's a better shooter than what's been advertised. He's mobile. He's coming from a good college program. He can block shots. He can defend. He seems to tick a lot of boxes. I know it's been said in our group chat, but if we were looking at trading back, he seems to tick a lot of the boxes of what they would have wanted out of Mo Bamba as the backup big. So I'm looking at that and saying that might intrigue. Are we going to look to move the 11th or the 6th pick and look to move back and grab him? I could see that happening. I am intrigued by Coulibaly. I think that's an Orlando Magic pick all day long because he's a defender. He's the slasher. You've heard about, you know, we mentioned the Giannis story here. He's got the wingspan. He's got time on his side. This is not the draft where we've got to sit there and go, we need an impact player now. So we can actually wait 3 years, see him come on with his age and make the leap and be ready to then grow in with Banchero and Wagner, but in a less pressured situation than it would have been. So he's a player who I'm watching. I'm intrigued. I don't think we'll keep our second round pick. I don't think it's going to happen. But if we did, I am quite intrigued by it. I think it's Bryce Sensabaugh, who is a guy from Orlando. And he seems to fit the idea of just a guy who can score. He's a scorer. He's won the Mr. Basketball in Florida. He's from the Orlando area. And if nothing else, he seems to be able to put the points on the board quick. And guys like Cam Thomas, who had a similar rep when they came in and were drafted, seem to be appealing late first, early second round picks. And he would fit the mold there. We've got an early second round pick. Would we just take a flyer if we did trade one of our first rounders and say, well, if nothing else, this guy can score points quick. He's from Florida. Throw one in on him. Jet Howard's intriguing, G. Because we obviously have eyes on the Michigan program and respect what's coming out of it. So I think it's worth watching, but I could see something where if we traded a first, we would keep our second, but I think we'll use both picks. But I think what happens with Houston at 4 could dictate what we do at 6, because if Amon Thompson comes available, I wonder if they would take the swing.
I want to spin this a slightly different way, because I think we're all singing from a similar hymn sheet in that we all know we need 3-point shooting. I think all four of us are agreeing we need a Grady Dick or John Hawkins.
Yep.
With one of those two lottery picks.
Yep.
And we are all in agreement, I think, that with the other pick, you take a swing on the player with the most upside. So, if you were so let's forget about Paolo, let's forget about Franz and Markel and Wendell. With the 6th pick, so let's say Wembanyama's going 1, we know that. Henderson's going 2 or 3. And then there's lots of disagreements about who's going where, but I think the top 3 in one way or another is Wembanyama, Henderson, and Brandon Miller.
Yeah.
Possibly Amon Thompson. I think that's your top 4 anyway. And most people seem to have Cam Whitmore go into Detroit because of the fit with Kay Cunningham and Jaden Ivey. So if you're looking at Asar Thompson, Anthony Black, Koulibaly, Hendricks, Lively, Grady Dick, Jairus Walker, who out of those players, who has the most upside? Forget about fit, any of that. Who has the most upside? Who are you taking the swing on?
Very good.
I'm swinging with Dick.
You think Dick's rising, Paul? Do
I do? Yep. I could see him coming up higher than people expect.
Right. So he's maybe poking his way in a bit.
boys.
We're here all night.
Say, we've done so many of these. Listen, you know exactly why I want us to take Grady Dick. I think the commentary from David Steele would be hilarious.
So Paul
he'd hate it.
Paul, for all of our listeners out there, are you saying that you'd be happy with a Dick pick?
Mate, I'm taking Dick.
You know people are going to snip this and just use it.
I don't care.
Gee, what are you talking about Dick and for? Come on.
I'm going Thompson. I think he's got the most upside. You know, he's got all the tools. Obviously, other than the jump shot, which is a bit suspect. But I think you just take the very best player, and I'm sure the Magic could be able to fit him in somewhere to make it work. And, you know, I take a swing then on the 11th pick to see which of the other two are available. Or worst case, you trade back. And, yeah, well, we've gone over this already.
Who was it you were talking about the free throw percentage, G? What player were you talking about?
Right, I just had to scroll through my notes.
So I'm playing devil's advocate.
Hendricks was 78% from the foul line.
Thompson, and then you had shot 67.
Cam Whitmore at 70. Grady Dick's numbers were 44 from the field, 41% from three on 206 attempts throughout the season. So, you know, that's some good form, isn't it? And then what did Jordan Hawkins get? 39% from downtown. So, yeah. On was the other one. Derek Lively, 72% on 2-point field goals, 4.7 blocks per 40 minutes. So only second to Wembanyama. So there's a lot of options there, guys. A lot of options, aren't there?
I'm concerned with Osar Thompson about the level of competition that he's faced this season. Mm. That worries me. More than anything for both of them, that worries me. And when I compare Hussein highest upside, you compare his competition with what Koulibaly's playing against in France in a pro league, and he's actually starting to put it together. I think he's got the biggest upside of all those players. So if you were saying pure potential, would I go six? I might look to trade back to eight or something, or nine to pick him. But I would be looking at him, and then I would be looking at Dick or Hawkins with the 11th pick. So you've got one upside player and you've got one need player, and then we can fill the big position if needs be. Although you might
Do you think Koulibaly might be available at 11?
Maybe. He's rising.
So then do you reach for your favourite player?
But he's rising. I'm not talking about Dick, I'm talking about Koulibaly, G. I think he's rising. I think he's going to go in the top 10.
Okay.
You know, that's
then somebody else is going to slide then, though, aren't they? So
I think a couple
lots of options.
I think
there's always some surprise.
One of the two shooters will be there, Paul. One of the two shooters will be there.
Yeah, there's always some surprise taken earlier than people expect.
Mm-hmm. I think they'll both be there.
Yeah.
I think
we'll, what, 11?
I think Grady Dick and John Hawkins will both be there. I'll be surprised if they go any higher. But I don't know. I think Asar Thompson feels like the most, like if you're talking the middle of the road in terms of upside and fit with what we already have, I think he makes the most sense. But I don't know. I don't know why. I'm just setting myself up for Anthony Black's name being called. But I just don't think they're gonna. No, I'm not joking. I just think I don't think we're gonna upset the apple cart. But I look at Anthony Black, and you think Jalen Suggs is good defensively. This kid is going to be really, really good, and he's bigger. He's got 7-foot wingspan at 6'7". I think he's going to be a really good player, Anthony Black. But I don't think we'll call his name. But I just can't wait on Friday morning next week to go through Twitter when we call Anthony Black's name and Case and Wallace. We just go for two players that don't make any sense. And completely left field from what we all thought.
If we select Anthony Black, I actually think Jalen Suggs could be done. And I'm not happy saying that because I think Suggs has got a lot of potential, but then I look at where he's at and what he brings, and it seems to be the natural person who would go would be Jalen Suggs.
I don't think it'll happen, though.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to rush into a decision on anybody on the roster at the moment. Extend Markel, extend Cole, see what happens over the next year to 2 years.
Yeah.
Agreed. Stretch J.I.
Just cut J.I., yeah.
Yeah, stretch him. You can, it's guaranteed 7.5. So 1.5 over the next 5 years. Yeah, stretch him and create yourself a bit of extra cap space. on a different
books.
Point.
You're making it on book sales, Paul, can he?
Right, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
So before we finish, so who's your picks? So if we're picking 6 and 11, who's your two?
Depends who's on the board, mate. It's so difficult. No, it's not like you're picking one.
Pula Bali.
Just your predictions.
Predictions are who I would take.
Predictions, yeah.
No idea.
Right. I'm going
genuinely
Thompson.
No idea.
I'll start then. I'll start Thompson at 6, and then hopefully Grady Dick is still on the board at 11, and then it'll be him. If he isn't on the board, we'll take Jordan Hawkins.
Right. I think we'll take Osar Thompson at 6, if that's how the draft pans out. If Ayman Thompson slides, we might take him, but I think we'll take Osar, and I think they'll take Jordan Hawkins at 11. If I was picking on upside, I would take Koulibaly. If I couldn't trade back, I'd be looking at him at 6. And I would be grabbing Dick at 11.
Also Thompson and Grady Dick.
I'm just going to be slightly different. Asar Thompson and trade down for Jordan Hawkins.
Yeah. So if we looked at the draft as one big area for the Magic, the other one's free agency, and everything's gone into hyperdrive this week where you're starting to see rumour mills. I'm just going to start. I know we've got other shows to come and I don't want to take any ammunition. We've got plenty to discuss. So I'm going to just go around a yes or a no for three names that have been linked so far this week. The first one's Fred VanVleet, and it seems to be the one that won't go away, where we keep on getting linked to him. And obviously, if it is somebody who we're legitimately in for, it could change how we draft and the whole future of the team. So, G, yes or no, Fred VanVleet?
Hell no. And I think he'll go to Philly.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I'll just expand on that a little bit. I think spending money on these free agents now be the wrong move. I think get the guys in the draft.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with you, by the way, at Philly, because I think Harden's done. Maggie?
No.
Paul?
No, he's going to Philly.
Yeah, tend to agree. So the next one then, Gary Trent Jr. We've heard his name pop up on the pod already today. Mikey, yes or no?
No.
Paul?
Is he a better option than Gary Harris? No. So I'll stick with Gary Harris. No.
G?
He's the best of the ones that you've got here.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
It's not the right time. And he's also got a very good first name.
He does. Obviously better than Gary with an I, who'll be listening. So the last one, I'll start with you again. It was 10-1 in the betting odds for Orlando earlier this week. D'Angelo Russell.
Me? Absolutely not. I think he's in the same camp as Karl Anthony Towns, where he plays for himself and not for the team. And I'd stay clear as far as we could from D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah. Paul?
Not with a barge pole.
Mikey?
Exactly what they said.
Yeah, I've got to be
honest. How about you, Gar? For all of them.
No way on D'Angelo Russell. Not a chance. I know when he even was playing for Brooklyn and people were saying we should go for him. I don't think he fits anything what we need.
Yep.
And I don't think the playoffs really helped. I noticed that he was also somewhere like 17-1 to end up in China, which might happen. Gary Trent Jr., he intrigues me, but not at the money it's going to cost.
Yeah.
So I think he might be a bit of an upgrade on Gary Harris, but I don't want to pay the money that it's going to cost to get him. And VanVleet, no. I don't think he fits what we have. I don't think he fits our timeline. And I think coming off the season he's just had with Toronto, it's not something that would really please me. I think there's a lot of question marks, and I do think he ends up in Philly. I think it's just too obvious that he's going to follow Nick Nurse to the Sixers. So it's three no's, but they were the three names that were jumping out on Twitter in the middle of the week when I put this together. I know there's going to be a lot more. Bradley Beal's name seems to be quite popular right now. We're not going there tonight. 35th anniversary is coming up for the Magic, and we unveiled our logo. I'll keep this open, so whoever wants to start, feel free. But where do we stand, and does this have any impact on the City or the Classic jersey coming this season? Floor is open.
I'll go with them. As we're all being polite, I'll not be. It's not the most inspiring of designs. However, I like it. I like the fact that it does manage to incorporate two of our logos. I think it would have been absolute fire if on the black of the 35 that incorporated the white pinstripes running through it.
Fair. I like that.
I know I'm probably the one that's by himself here. I like it. I like the original Magic ball with the stars coming through it. So anything that has that, okay, the 3 and the 5, you know, maybe is a little bit, you know, boring that's, or plain.
Yeah, that's where I am with that. It's just that the 35 part of it, the black numbering, doesn't have any great impact. I would just like to have seen something designed within there. Other than that, I like it.
Yeah, but anything with that ball, the original logo ball, is just up my street, and I wish it was our logo now.
Maggie.
It's all right. I'm more excited about the throwback jerseys coming back this year. I think what this does, though, because there was rumours last year that we were going to get the Stars jersey this year. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that they've included the original logo in this. So does that mean we're getting original jerseys instead, and those rumours aren't so true? So
they've had surprises, haven't they? They have said there's... I think we're going to get a smorgasbord of merchandise. But I've got to work that one in there. Smorgasbord of merchandise. I think we'll get a Stars jersey. I think that's going to be true. I think we'll get the blue Stars.
That was the rumour last year, wasn't it? But, I mean, the video that accompanied it, all the players had the home white pinstripe jersey. And obviously, last time we had the blue one. The time before that, we had the black one. So I wonder if they're going through...
Well, it did, G. It did for about two-thirds of that video, and then it started bringing all the others. I thought exactly the same as that, mate.
I think we might go for the actual star print.
The white one?
I think they'll go for the blue. I would want the white one, personally. If to be honest, I think it's the better of the two jerseys, but I think it'll be the blue one. What it would interest me, and I've put this a little hint in the question I asked, is whether this will have an impact on the City jersey as well. Because they've known for years in advance the 35th's coming up. We've been talking about it for a couple of seasons now. We know the jerseys are designed a few years in advance. So could it be that we get a blue throwback jersey with the star print and the City jersey? Obviously, it was black this season. Are they going to go white and do something that's got a throwback vibe to it, the pinstripes and such?
Hopefully. We love the old stuff.
Well, we had the orange theme running for a while, so I wonder if this Kingdom on the Rise is going to be something that we see for a little bit longer yet.
But if you flipped that, Paul, and you had that white jersey and you put some pins in it, the Kingdom on the Rise there, and you just put Magic instead of Orlando across the front, it would be kind of a modern take.
Yeah. I can see us keeping the Kingdom on the Rise side of things in some shape or form. But yeah, it wouldn't be surprising if they just worked some throwback in, mate. Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you.
Get our draft pick in there, Grady Dick, and the On the Rise theme. It's going to be great, isn't it? We're all buying that. We're all buying. Sorry, lads, I couldn't resist. So anyone got anything else they want to add on that, or are we good?
I think the only thing we need to just say is send our love to Dante with the news of this week and his bereavement. Thinking on you, man.
Yeah, all the best to Dante. So on that note, with best wishes to Danny.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's all right. It's all right. But we obviously, everybody in the Orlando UK community will send that. It's not just from on the pod. As always, thank you for listening and watching. Don't forget to subscribe, Orlando Magic UK on YouTube. Leave us your comments. Please follow on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So for Paul, the G, for Mikey, and for myself, go Magic.